Welcome to the 2012 Global Convention of Compulsive Overeaters Anonymous HOW, the guests of CA HOW. My name is Estela, and I am the workshop leader. Would you please join me in the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Today, this session is being taped. It says if you choose to participate in any questions in this session, you must sign this form granting Compulsive Eaters Anonymous HOW specific rights in taping your voice. Well, what I would like to say to qualify that I have been in the program since 1994, my continuous abstinence began on August 2nd, 2009, and I have been attending meetings in the San Fernando Valley area. And I'm looking forward, one day at a time, to take my 3-year birthday candle this coming Thursday. So, yay! This has been my longest abstinence, and one day at a time, with God's help, I hope is my very last way out. So, I am grateful. Please turn off all your cell phones and not texting. Thank you very much. I am grateful to qualify to be here today, standing here and sharing my experience, strength, and hope about time out before taking the first compulsive bite. It has been a long journey, one that set me free from the bondage of self-destruction. There will be no questions and answers at the end, when I'm done talking, because we are going to be practicing a timeout in writing, and I will guide you later on about how to do it. And so, having been said that, if you have any question, you write it down and see me outside after the workshop is over. So, time out. This is the first time out that we are going to take. We are going to center in to be right here, right now, in the present. And the way we are going to do it is by breathing deeply. The way we're going to breathe deeply is we are going to inhale, feeling the air, feeling our brain going all the way into our bellies, and then letting it out. And I wanted to say something before we start. We are going to breathe 12 times. And those one time for each of the 12 steps of recovery. And so here we go. Close your eyes and be here. And one. Two. Three, four, five, six, seven. Eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, Wonderful, wonderful. Open up your eyes. And this is something that I practice when I feel like I'm losing my peace and bad feelings start coming out. And I said, time out. And that's what I do to center in and to compose myself, because otherwise food starts talking to me very, very loud. What I wanted to say also is that the reason I did this exercise to be here in the present is lunch is in the past, dinner is in the future, and in between those two meals, while we are having this workshop, no one is passing out. So time out. That's our first practice. The foundation of my ability to take time out happened when I stopped resisting life, resisting the program, resisting that, and I embraced it. I decided, I got tired of swimming against the current and getting exhausted, and I was miserable, and I will binge and just pass out. And I wanted to break that cycle, so that was important to me. The other thing, my ability to be able to take time out before the first compulsive bite didn't just happen in 1 minute. It was a process. It was taking many, many choices, making many choices and taking many decisions that eventually caused me to be able to take the time out willingly and in a natural way. And I would say that surrender was one of the first times out that I have to take. I have to come out with my white flag of surrender and say, God, I cannot stop binging, but you can help me. I was angry. I cried out to God many times, and I wanted an instant miracle. I had, 28 years ago, before I ever knew about this program, I had an God experience. I went to a healing service. I used to have really severe back problems. And instantly, the person barely touched me without me saying anything, and I got healed. And this is not about religion. It's about me knowing that the power of God was real. But I wanted the instant miracle because I didn't want to do the work. I just wanted the free lunch. And God said to me, he says, I give you a daily reprieve contingent to your willingness to do the food work. Because if you don't do the work, you're not going to change. And I want you to change. And that was an important one. We just recited the serenity prayer, acceptance, accepting the things we cannot change. We are powerless over food, people, places, and circumstances. Accepting what? Accepting certain facts of life that are common to the human race. And one is that what was common to the human race, to me, that life is not always fair, that many times we plan things and they don't come the way we want it, that things change and end. Yeah, like the times of the fat cows are over and we have worldwide a different situation. So I have to make the adjustment. And I'm saying all these things because those are the times venting and writing, doing inventories, venting, writing and writing was what it took me to get to the point of that type of awareness. And that's why it's an inner job. So that's why I insist on that. And the other facts of life were that people are not always loving and loyal. People will betray us. We will lose relationships. We will get divorced. Things happen. And the other thing that I accepted was that pain is part of life. Pain is a great motivator. And yes, no one is immune sometimes to accidents, death, loss of income, all sorts of things. That's part of life. And God said to me, welcome to the human race. So, time out. And those were awareness that came to me in, after doing many, many inventories, writing, doing this and that and that. So it just came as a process. It just didn't come out one time. The other thing is that I accepted the food plan as it is written. I didn't question it. I just went like a little horse with the blinders. I just go for what it says. It's written that way. I don't question it. I work the 12 steps. I use the 7 tools. I follow the guidance of my sponsor. And I just don't resist anymore because I'm done. I'm done. My way obviously didn't work. So, God, here you have it. And the other thing is that we are not victims. You know, for compulsive eaters, many times we have the mentality, oh, we are victims, poor us, why me, blah, 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 blah. Hello. If you are in this room, you are a victor. You ran the race to win the race. There is a crown waiting for you with your name written on it at the end of the finishing line. That's what God said to me. And that's true for all of us. And here we are. I want you to know that I pray a lot about this because we are dealing with something that I pray for God. My prayer was that whomever was going to be here will be blessed with the opening eyes and opening ears to see and to hear truth that will set them free and will give them the gift of abstinence once and for all, one day at a time. So that was my prayer for today. The other thing, I went here. I accepted my disease. See, overeating is about to being stuck in old patterns and habits. It's a stagnation. And here is abstinence. It's action. It's new habits. It's changing and growing. And I was a slave of my appetite and my food and my emotions. Today, I master food. I'm free and I have a daily reprieve. Today, just for today, food that doesn't have brain, don't control me any longer. I have the brain. So I say, time out, you. And the other thing that was, I don't know, it's not the order, but I just remember God told me one day, time out from excess or unnecessary trips to the refrigerator. Love, success, relationships are not to be found in the refrigerator. So he said, time out. Well, here it is. Compulsive eating, where the insanity and versus abstinence, where there is the abstinence gave me a sense of well-being. I was productive. My creativity came back. I was present. I started in a state of hating my life or disliking myself, being guilty about or binging, being in denial or being anger. All of a sudden, I received peace of mind because I accepted the program and I started doing it as it was written. That was a saving grace. And I will say, not too long ago, I woke up and there was a song in my ears, and it says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost with the curse of the world, but now, and I was blind by white flour and sugar, but now I see. So it's like God has even a sense of humor with me, the way he talks to me or what I hear about this program. It's like encourage me every single day to keep going. I was insane because I was compulsively overeating. Sometimes we have, many of you heard this cliche, I came for the vanity and I stay for the sanity. Compulsive overeating, the insanity, abstinence, the sanity. So it was my choice. And I obviously wanted to take that way, that road. The other thing that I became aware is that what was in me, you know, this is all about all the writings that I have been doing from it. That my body, every time I compulsively overate, my body was overnourished. I was sluggish. I had problems with the indigestion. All my systems slowed down. When I'm abstinent, my body is being nourished by measured food. My soul, everything, there was imbalance with my body, my soul, and my spirit. My soul was depleted from the right type of nourishment. So was my spirit. I knew God, but I didn't know how to connect my spiritual beliefs with the 12-step program. And so for a while I had a conflict until I, was able to put things together. And for some people, it's because they don't have a daily contact with their higher power, or it's because they don't have a higher power, or whatever it is. But that's our condition when we are overeating. And, of course, when I'm abstinent, my soul is nourished by what? By the 12-step literature that I read on a daily basis, by books that feed my interest, things like that, and by loving instead of, how could I love anybody? You know, my teaching was love your neighbor as yourself, and how could I love anybody if I didn't love or like myself? You know, so that's what I learned. I nourished myself, and now I'm able to share, to give service, and that for me is part of the awareness. See, all these things that that I became aware of as I was abstinent were the things that were giving me a solid foundation. So when the real timeouts or emergency camps, I didn't run to the food. I was able to time out, center in, and use the tools of the program instead of just using self-will. Because the truth is that self-will will masquerade like hunger. It will masquerade as fatigue and as many other emotions that you wanted. But it's the differentiating that one is head hunger. And the other one, the real one, is the stomach hunger. That is what helped me out. Okay. And the bottom line is that if I wanted to commit myself to love myself and to work this program, I wanted to be willing to feel uncomfortable for a while, say to myself, this too shall come to pass. The reward of long-term freedom was much, much better than being stuck before. So that was my experience. And the other thing that I find out is that in making a commitment with myself, I sort of wrote that out of my writings. Another of my timeouts was to write a contract to myself about traveling. And I used traveling. The first 6 months to a year, I wanted a solid foundation. And it's all about what you are able to handle. If you travel for work, that's quite all right. That's your life. But if you don't, try to either take your vacations before you start the program or go on a vacation after you have a solid foundation, you know, because the temptation with food when you are in other countries or places is great. But once you have the foundation and you feel secure in your abstinence, one day at a time, it is better. That's what I have worked for me. So I didn't go out until I knew that I could handle it. Today, I can go anywhere in the world, cruises, this, that, any place, and be okay and don't have a problem because I had the solid foundation. But that was a choice that I made. I'm just sharing what worked for me. The other timeouts, obviously, are about anger and unforgiveness. Whatever you're angry with self, God, other person, move on fast and let go and let God, because write about it and let it go, because otherwise, what's the alternative? I didn't want to go there. I wanted to be light and loose and shake it off. I didn't want to go there anymore because that didn't work. Obviously, my own set of rules didn't work, and my grandiosity and my illusions and all that didn't work. So I had to embrace the new set of rules that the program offered me, and for which I'm extremely grateful. The other one that I took was I took time out. Time out on Sunday's afternoon to write my weekly schedule. Because when I have a concrete plan of action for at least my immediate future, one day at a time, I have a better thing, a way of balancing things, and instead of overloading everything one day and do nothing the next day. So what I do, I sit down, I write down my schedule. The night before the following day, I review it and I make adjustments. I do not schedule anything more than 70%. I live for the unpredictable of emergencies, enough time to do that, because otherwise I don't like chaos, and I want to be able to keep my abstinence, because this is truly the most important thing in my life today. So I write everything, prayer, meditation, hygiene, phone calls, food preparation, work, exercising, the water intake, recreation, relationships, chores, laundry, cleaning, appointments with the doctor, dentist, to the car, with your car, your mechanic, whatever. I write every single thing. Obviously not in one day only, because otherwise you get overwhelmed. So I write and I plan everything. Time out for me was also important for when I went grocery shopping. Number one, I never go grocery shopping when I'm hungry. And I go grocery shopping with my list, and I stick to my list. I normally go grocery shopping after my dinner. So I stick to my list, and whatever it is, I let it go. I know that I now live by myself, but I also have to do grocery shopping for my mother. She lives very close to me, and now I'm running two households. But that's a different story. I'm very grateful to do that. So the point is that I know that most of you have families. And what we all need to know is how to ask for what we need. There are 24 hours in the day, and I can sincerely ask my partner, I need your support. Would you please, whatever it is that is not in my food plan and is not being selfish, until I have a solid foundation, would you please help me and have those things when you go out to lunch with your coworkers or when at school or whatever? I ask for help. Ask and you shall receive. That doesn't mean, and people for the most part want to help you. So that's the timeout. The other timeout that I took was timeout to figure out who I was. What were my core values and my beliefs? I let go of those big walls that I have built, and I built instead healthy boundaries who define who I was. And in that way, today I can stand here and say, I feel pretty good about myself, and I'm comfortable in my own skin. And the one thing that helped me is where all those time outs in writing, and writing, and writing. Take time out. I'm not asking anyone to isolate because that's not cool, but learn how to enjoy your own company and solitude. Solitude to really quiet down the other voices and have the time to really listen and pour out your feelings, whatever it is that you want to say, and just let it out on the paper. And getting to know myself was a big help. So that's why I took the time out to do it, to define who I was. And today my self-esteem is pretty good. And it has nothing to do with looks. It has to do with what this program taught me, which is to do the internal work. I read in our literature that this says that the physical condition is only the outward manifestation of a deeper root. So what I have to do, I have to dig out all what for years or seasons of my life I have buried with excess food. When they came into the light, voila, I felt much lighter. The weight was coming off because I wasn't so concerned on the food plan or what I was eating, but I was concerned in cleaning house. That's why we do the inventory, or that's why we do step 10. So time out. By observation, I have been in this program for many years, and by observing many of the people that I have sponsored through the years, one of the things is that I learned was taking time out from impulsive buying or living above your means, because this was a pattern of many people that come to my mind. They will go and impulsive. We are compulsive. We are impulsive. Go, and then she will be doing fine. But then the end of the month came, the credit card bill came, and they couldn't pay. And the anxiety and the worry and the fear made them to binge. This is not about morality, finances, or anything. It's about knowing and learning about yourself, what you are able to handle. If you are cannot handle it, if instead of being a wean, it's a weight, I want it out of my life. That's me. That was my experience. The other, and I also, sadly, many, many years ago, I had for a short period of time a person that sponsored me, and this person had the right zip code, have this, have that, and that, and that, and that. But he couldn't handle himself. And not only he left and started binging, but today he's not here to tell the story. He killed himself. And trust me, I did learn from that. And so today for me, peace of mind, knowing who I am, is more important than any other things. This is to be successful. to have beautiful things, to enjoy the fruit of your labor is wonderful. Let's don't misunderstand, because that's not the point. The point is, know what you can handle before taking the first compulsive bite. Otherwise, you know what's your story. I don't. Definitely prayer and meditation. I cannot take phone calls. I do not take phone calls. Before doing my prayer and meditation. My prayer and meditation is very, very important for me, because I center, I get recharged or charged or directed by my source of energy and life, and then I find that when I do, which is most of every day, that my day goes smoother and I'm able, food is not talking to my ear, and I'm able to center, because it's whatever happens in me can happen through me. I can only give of my overflow or of my lack. And so that was very important to me. So I do pray and meditate and do my hygiene. Then I go right away into taking phone calls, breakfast. I told you I believe that I get up 20 minutes earlier if I am going to begin all day, and I prepare all my meals. Or if I'm coming back home, I take lunch with me, and I semi prepare dinner. So when I come back home in the evening, I'm very hungry, I want to eat. I don't have to spend a lot of time in the kitchen. Maybe 10 minutes or so. It's enough for me, and then instead of watching TV, multitasking doesn't work for me. I sit on the dinner table or whatever at the bar, but with my plate, and I enjoy the food. That's my time out to eat and enjoy. Right, just remember, it takes about 30 minutes for the message of satiation to get to our brain, so time out. Because when I watched TV while I was eating, what happened? I went, look, 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 look. I forgot what I ate. And I said, what happened? What happened with my food? And then I was looking at that obviously the message wasn't here already yet. And what happened is I started seeing the food commercials, and they started talking to me. And I was salivating, and I don't want that. So I don't watch TV while I'm working, so that's the time out that I take. The other time out that I take when it comes to television, I take time out from TV late at night. I don't watch any more negative things, blah, 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 blah. You know why? Because if I don't take the time out from negative things, I watch very careful what I put in my mind. As we think, so we are. And I don't want negativity. There is plenty in life about our own situations to hear about more. Not because we don't have the compassion. I can always pray about situations that happen to other people. That's not the point. The point is, I just don't want to fill my mind with negative stuff. Because when I do that, I don't sleep well. And what happens when I don't sleep well? Never be hungry, never be tired, never be angry or lonely. And I'm tired the next day. And what happens when I'm tired the next day? Food talks loud to my ears, and I want to go and grab everything that is close to me. Although I don't buy anything that is not in my menu. But one thing that I do is that I said, okay, I'm taking time out because I want to have a good night of rest, because that helps me not to have the predisposition to overeat. And so that's what works for me. It's just a matter, for me, it was a matter of being aware of that. And that works for me. And the other thing is, I do take time out to drink water and to exercise, but I don't do anything crazy that I sign up for this and that, although there is a gym where I live. so it's not a problem. But I do, sometimes I do the gym, but other times I keep it simple, and instead of going in and out of my home, what I do is just, I put music and I start dance. I love salsa, so I start dancing, worship music, and I dance, and that's my endorphins are going, and I'm happy, and that's my exercise. And one thing, talking about attitudes, one day, I moved into this new place less than a year ago. And one thing that used to bother me from that place was that people, we have maintenance people cleaning the building three times a week. But people by the mailboxes will get it, whatever falls on the floor, they will never pick it up. And that used to bug me because, you know, I don't like that close to my condo, so I didn't care for that. So I changed my attitude. I started, instead of feeling for everyone else, and I said, what are people? They are entitled. They think that because we have maintenance people, they have to clean up. You know what was my exercise? I will pick everything. And every time I did pick those things, I said, you know, it's my tummy that is going down and my tummy that is getting flat. But that's not the point that I'm making is this. A month later, it's the night, I was surprised. Someone is knocking on my door. I said, I didn't open the gate to anybody. And it's my neighbor. She happens to be she's part of the homeowners association. And she handed me an envelope, and she said, thank you for making our building a better place to live. And the inside was a gift certificate. So someone was watching. And I was, because my attitude was of this. Every time I pick up, not that I have to pick up after people. That's not the point. The point is that I was thinking and doing something good for me. I was thinking my stomach is getting flat. This is a way of exercising. That's what I was thinking. But nevertheless, someone was watching, and I was rewarded. So those are timeouts. And, the most important ones. Time out from fast food restaurants and bakeries. If you are tempted to do that, you need to flee on the opposite direction. Make a U-turn safely. Drive away where the aromas of the food are not around, close to you, close enough for you to smell them. Don't call from the parking lot of the fast food restaurant. But, you know, pull your car on the curb where it's safe and make as many phone calls as you need to. And this is the caveat. Be honest with yourself about wanting help, about people trying to help you and talk you out of the binge. Because the truth is that we are all compulsive eaters. And I had my times. And other people had my times. And we all went through that. But I'm supposed to be learning something. And I'm just sharing what I learned. And by listening to people, the truth is I don't want to hear how much you ate or what you ate after the fact. Call me or call as many times as you need to when we are able to help you. That's using the tools of the program, because if I don't call, I call you after the facts with the pity and the guilt and all that. I don't want to hear it. I don't want you to put anyone to put in my head ideas about food. Remember, my compulsion was about white flour and sugar, so I don't need to hear that. And it's not about being selfish, you know. It's about reality. I just call me when I can help you. So this too shall come to pass, and the urge goes away. And that's the truth. If we want to be helped, we do that. Buffets, all-you-can-eat places. be realistic. If there is no other place around in the entire place, do, but go. Again, know what you can handle. When I find my place, myself in places like that, I, before going, because that's where the rest of the people are going, I make a choice and I make a decision. And the decision is this, that I will go. We all know what 4 ounces or 5 ounces, whatever it is that you are allowed. I eat a little bit more because I'm in maintenance. So whatever it is your portion, you can eyeball it and put in the plate whatever it is that is that you're supposed to eat. Sit facing back the food and enjoy what is in your plate and be sincere and honest. Just don't go back. It's not, oh, but it's easy to you to say. What I learn is either at parties, banquets, or whatever it is, if I engage in talking to the people that I am meeting and getting interested in them, then the things go away. I do call restaurants. I don't do that anymore, but I used to call restaurants and ask if they could prepare something for me. And with that, when the rest of the people that I was meeting came to the restaurant, they didn't even know. The waiter already knew what I wanted, and he brought it to me, and that was the end of the story. I remember one time I was in a very, well, very nice place, and this, what I did is they didn't have, the food was so exotic that they didn't have a thing for me to eat. That was the bottom line. And so I knew that in advance because I have called. So I brought my own food. I gave the guy, the waiters, the server a few dollars, and I said, would you please put this on a plate and bring it for me? I'm telling you, the party that I was with, no one even realized that I have done that. So that's going to any length for the work, for the program to work for you. That is really having, being honest with yourself. That's what the writing does. That's the time out to think, because this is for people that I'm talking about for just things. If you are struggling, if you're not struggling, you know what to do already. Wonderful. Yeah, buffet. And when I travel, that's even, I call the airline, and for me what works is to ask for, I'm not diabetic, I'm very healthy, thank God. But I ask for that menu because there is no white flour or sugar, there is more protein, and there is more, and I think we can mention food. They brought me even 2 rice cakes, which I can have in maintenance. So, it's doable if we try to do it. There are always, honestly, I believe, I remember one time being in a place where there was nothing but a 7-Eleven. I was able to pick 2 hot dogs before I even touched them. I let go of the buns. I picked the 2 hot dogs, a can of 16 ounces of vegetable juice, a piece of fruit, a diet soda, and I took off that place and I had my meal. I was in the middle of nowhere driving on a road, and that was the last station for hours, the last place that I could buy my meal. Then there was a gap, like of a 2-hour gap, that you didn't have any restaurant. So that's going to any length for me. And so those were the things that I work. And this, now we will have time to do the exercise, because this is it was 2:15 to 3:30. Is that correct? Yes. Okay. So this is, I have left this time out in writing because this was my problem, and this was the problem that I observed that most of my sponsees will face, and instead of taking the time out, they just went on and binged. And this is the one I do like in writing. In writing, the timeout is, first of all, I take a few deep breaths. If I'm in a public place or at work, I don't have a little pen, I don't have pen and pencil or a little writing pad, I take my phone, my cell phone, and I text myself or email myself and I start venting. Or otherwise, if I have to confront or have a disagreement with a person, these are the questions. Okay, normally the problem is miscommunication, misunderstanding, and being angry or fighting and all that, and we all want to have our way. But one thing I learned is that it's my perspective, according to what I have lived and my life experience, their perspective, according to their life experience. And here is the perspective, I can call it God or server or observer or the neutral point. It's the one is watching the two of us. And so I try to be aware that it's not only my way, that people have, and that's where the miscommunication and the misunderstanding come, and many people go and binge instead of dealing with that. And the timeout is about this. I ask myself, what is bothering me? What is bothering me? What, who, or what is bothering me? Then I ask myself, what is it? How am I going to resolve it? What is it that I really want for this person to change or do for me in order to resolve this conflict or this problem and or this argument? And one of the things that I became aware is time, the right time, the right place, and the right way of saying things. Because the writing is about rehearsing. It's about venting feelings, but it's about rehearsing. So when you actually talk to this person, you are more composed. You already visualize what's the outcome that you want, and not always you will get what you want, but that's where the compromising comes, and then you can agree to disagree. You can agree to meet again and look for another opportunity to make other type of agreements. There is always a solution. There is always a solution for any problem without taking the first compulsive bite. And so see the other person's perspective, and is when you ask, know what you want for that person, and then when you ask for something that is realistic and doable. Unrealistic things are not cool, you know. It's like when I used to have illusions of perfect relationship with this, and that, and it doesn't happen, you know. I just don't want to be in unhealthy relationships, that's all. So that's what we want to do, to improve our communication with other human beings, because we all go through hurts and pains, and that's why we have different perspectives, and so this is the point. And lastly, this, just think about asking in writing. Think about asking the other person, is it okay with you? Is it doable? Can we meet again? That type of thing. And when you finally are in to the place, face-to-face, again, place, right time, right place, and safe for you. If this is a big argument and you feel unsafe, don't go alone. And, of course, the right time and place is never a bar or a place. It's always a private place. One of the things I learned, you know, shouting and screaming, pointing the finger and doing all that, that's enough. So I try to watch my and not have an attitude and watch my body language, that my body language will match my gestures and my what I'm saying. Otherwise, there is a problem with that for me. And I know that it's a problem for many other. And the other thing was, in this Southern California is a melting pot of many different cultures. So be aware of other people's cultures and ways of expressing themselves. And a word for us or for me may mean differently for you. And even keep eye contact, even the handshake is different and different. So just be aware and sensitive of that. I don't read minds anymore. I don't finish people's sentences. I do not have the answer to all the questions. I don't know everything. I just take time out to do that and try to understand what's going on, because for me, what's the other alternative? The alternative is going and binging, and I don't want to go back there anymore. That's the bottom line. So right now, we are going to take about 8 minutes, and I want you to think about a situation in which you have, think about a person or a situation that you feel that you have a problem or a conflict and you don't know what to do. And just speak or write in first person without pointing the other person's problems or she's stupid, she's this and that. No, it's your inventory, it's your time out, it's your situation. So use first person and say, okay, this is the problem. This is what's bothering me. And then I want you to say, right, second question is, what is it that I want from that? What do they have to change or do for me in order for me to resolve the conflict or the problem that I have with this person? So look into that. And then the other, be sure that you are going, when you talk to this person, just pretend that the person is there. Just be sure that you are doing, what is it that you are doing? You are going to check in with a person and say, okay, is it okay with you? Is it doable? Is it possible? And ask for reasonable things. So I want you to do that type of writing. And then after we are done with the writing, we are going to take 3-4 minutes. I would like you to partner with another person and practice, because practice makes it perfect. Fake it until you make it. And so you share the problem with your partner, express it, you are rehearsing and practicing. When the next time you see this person, you can tell about it. And instead of taking that first compulsive bite, you are taking time out. And then allow 3-4 minutes to the other person to do the same and tell you their story. So let's write. It's time to wrap it up, and I would really appreciate if we do the role play. So please partner up with another person and discuss your situation, and then for 3-4 minutes, and then allow the other person to tell you their situation. So when you face the person that you have the problem with, you have already expressed that. Remember, you speak in first person. Be polite but powerful, direct to the point, be specific, and yet be gentle. So go do it. May I have your attention, please? We have to close this. We have to take time out and close the workshop. I would like to say thank you for being here and participating in your recovery. Remember these few things when you are in conversation. Agree to disagree. State consequences. Use diffusing statements, but then go back to the main issue. Speak in first person. Don't ridicule people in public. Don't use sarcasm or bad jokes to get even or to teach someone a lesson, because those things will cause you to binge afterwards. Know what you can handle and write until your pen and pencils are worn out. But use that tool. Take the time out, breathe, and go to any length to recover, because life is precious, and so is the gift of abstinence. There is hope. Here I am, a 60-year-old lady, and there is hope for all of you that are younger than me. So keep doing what you are doing. Let's pray the serenity prayer as we close. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Not my will, but thy will be done. Thank you. Good afternoon.